Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is the Weekly Pint. It's the show that is not a show. It's a happy hour, an excuse for us to drink together. Welcome back to another live Monday night, 9:30-ish. How did we do? Oh, 9:38. That's pretty good. Welcome. If you're new to this thing, it's a live show. Hopefully you're new right now, listening live, because if you're listening to the podcast afterwards, you know you're doing it wrong. You don't know because you're new to this. I'm telling you, you're doing it wrong. This is way better consumed live on a Monday night to kick off the week in style rather than some other time in the middle of the week where you're already into the roll, into the swing of another long work week. It's supposed to be live. It's supposed to be right now. So next time, tune in live. 9:30-ish, Monday nights. But welcome anyways. We still love you. Just don't love you as much as the people that are here live. It really is that simple. We talk about everything that is beer, booze, beverage news that somehow relates to my bubble here in Cincinnati. Now sometimes that stretches outside of Cincinnati because it's all still relative news. Usually it has something to do with a Cincinnati twist to it, but some fun stuff. And sometimes there's good news, sometimes there's bad news, but it's always fueled by one thing, and that is drinking. We always drink on the show, so hopefully you've got something as you do open up whatever it is you happen to be drinking tonight. I almost drank a flavored water tonight. I've got one sitting in the fridge that is a very strange flavor. And I almost drank it on the show. And then I was like, okay, I can't just drink it on the show. That's not fun. I need to dump some booze in it. So then I was doing all this like science trying to figure out what booze would go good with it. And then I thought, no, I'm just going to make a cocktail. So that's what I'm going to kick the show off. I've been in the middle of something that I'm calling, I don't have a good name for it, my quest through rum. This entire summer, I've just been drinking so much rum. But instead of the schnappening to kick off the show, we have the rumination, where I drink rum. I don't have any new rum in the house that I'm aware of this week, so we're going to make a cocktail with some rum. Let me see what you guys are drinking, though, first. Let's see. Josh is having a West Side Oktoberfest. I'm excited to try that for the first time this year. I will talk about Oktoberfest Quest a little bit before I make my my cocktail. Julia is having some kind of a delicious Belgian beer. She doesn't know what it's called, though, because the bottle is downstairs. Marco having a high-grain fest beer. Chris is having an old-fashioned and several half-truth. Do several half-truth equal one regular truth? I don't know. These are the questions I need to know. Julia says, it's a Herkenrode Noctis, traditional Belgian Abbey ear beer. Say that three times fast. Eric is having Yellow Springs Oktoberfest. Alex having St. Bernardus App 12. The rummer. I like that for my summer of rum. let's see. The Cincy Brew Dads are having award-winning Abbey Lubber Brown Ale from Gravel Road. All right. This is a cocktail that... Let me talk about Oktoberfest Quest before I get into my cocktail. Although my ice is just sitting here melting. I think I probably mentioned that I was thinking about this idea a few weeks ago. There is going to be a lot of Oktoberfest beers if my math is correct. And if everybody that I think is putting theirs in packaging puts it into packaging. And if it all works out the way I think it's going to work out, there's too many to make a nice, even, neat bracket. So what I'm going to do for the first time ever, I'm trying every beer. Round one is me just trying every single beer. And I've built out a spreadsheet with, I don't remember how many different factors go into my score of an Oktoberfest. It's something like 17 or 18, though. There's a lot of different like little categories to rate Oktoberfest beers. And they're all going to get a score. And from those scores, the top 32 make it into the bracket. That'll give me a very defined number of beers. I already know that it'll be 32 beers that are going through there. I can work backwards, get the math all figured out so that the finals, the final four are figured out the week before the finals. So you'll have a week of knowing who the final four are. And then we'll go into the finals and it'll all be hunky-dory. But there will be beers eliminated that don't ever go head to head with anybody else. They just get eliminated. And I'm not going to say that they are the bottom Oktoberfest beers in the city or something like that. I'm not going to make some kind of offensive name for it. I probably will. You're the worst Oktoberfest beers. I don't know. Some of them will get eliminated before they go head to head. And that's, I think that's the smartest way to do this. I think that's, I think the math adds up. Zach says Westside and Esoteric are my faves. The one that I am probably most curious to try is the new Sam Adams non-alcoholic Oktoberfest. And yes, that will be in the bracket because it's in packaging. It's not made here. I'm pretty sure they don't make it here in Cincinnati, but we have two different Sam Adams breweries technically here in town. It has to make it into the bracket. That's gotta work. Ryan says Sucktoberfest. That's pretty good. All right, I'm gonna make a cocktail. I've never had this cocktail, and I don't know if my ingredients are the perfect ingredients, but we're gonna find out. We're gonna find out together. Got a cocktail shaker. I know that's the proper ingredient. This is called a jungle bird. So a jungle bird is a tiki cocktail that uses Campari. And I've been kind of curious about it. It's been in my head and on some kind of invisible list of one of these days when I sit down at Tiki Tiki Bang Bang, I'm going to have a jungle bird, a proper jungle bird that somebody else makes me. And I couldn't wait anymore. And when I was trying to think of a good tiki cocktail that I felt like I needed to drink tonight, that one just kept popping up in my head. And I'm like, oh, all right, I'll do it. Now, the recipe that I have for a jungle bird calls for a very dark, like a blackstrap rum, and I don't have any of that. So I started kind of reading some other people's thoughts. Chris is bailing on us. He has one bar on LTE. Well, you're allowed to watch it afterwards if you don't have service. We'll accept that. Zach says you need to mix the Quest up and drink some Oktoberfest out of state and throw them in as wild cards. I've done that in the past if it was to get an even number. I've thrown some out of state ones, but no, this is to find the best Cincinnati Oktoberfest beer. Out of state ones don't make it. I still drink them. I drink lots of Oktoberfest beers, but so I don't have any blackstrap rum. So I started reading some other people's thoughts on this cocktail, and there were a lot of people that said you could substitute some other things. Smith & Cross was a favorite, which, again, I don't have. I didn't know if the Pussers would substitute good enough for the Smith & Cross, so I knocked that off. I'm not going to do that one. But people kept saying, like, a good, funky Jamaican rum. And immediately, light bulbs go off in my head. I've got a good, funky Jamaican rum. I've got a really great Jamaican rum that I love. You guys have seen me drink it on here. Dr. Bird, this stuff is so delicious. It's a Jamaican rum, and it's finished in Muscatel casks, and it's 100 proof. It's big and bold and absolutely delicious. So we're going to do that one. Everything else I think is pretty straightforward as far as ingredients go. I don't have any simple syrup made up because I never have simple syrup made up, so I'm going to start with my sugar because I need to get some sugar cubes dissolving. Should be a half ounce of simple syrup, which I think works out to about 3 sugar cubes, I think. Then we need a half ounce of lime. I was really smart tonight. Instead of trying to juice the limes on the middle of the desk and getting sticky lime juice all over everything, I pre-juiced my limes like 5 minutes ago. See, I'm learning things. I need a half ounce of this. And you know if there's lime juice left over, which there's a whole bunch of lime juice left over. I juiced 2 limes. It's way too much. I'm going to have to drink daiquiris after the show. Or maybe during the show. Half ounce of lime. Let's see. I need 3/4 of an ounce of Campari. Let's do this. This is probably easier to say 3/4. Yeah. I don't drink a ton of Campari, but I really enjoy it. Sometimes it comes off really super bitter for me, and then other times, in some cocktails, it comes off really, really sweet, and I can't actually figure out when and why it does what. This stuff is also super sugary and sticky if you dump it everywhere, which I usually do. 3/4 ounce of Campari. There we go. And then we need a whole bunch of pineapple juice. 1.5 ounces, I think. Yeah. 1.5 ounces of pineapple. I guess it's not as much as we had in our painkiller. Oh, I spilled it. See? Thought I was going to be good tonight. This desk is just going to be, like, saturated with booze and juice at some point. What's next? All right, so we got sugar, lime, pineapple, Campari, our rum. We need some rum. 1.5 ounces of that, too. Uh-oh. Oh, no. We just did something terrible. I have ruptured my cork on my Dr. Bird. Oh, no. We have a cork-related emergency. I'm going to have to get a corkscrew. I think. What kind of crap is this? Well, this is entertaining. Oh, it's coming to lose it in the bottle. Ah. I don't want to poke at it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, but I don't know. I don't know if I can. I'm gonna grab a corkscrew. I'm gonna see if I can save this. This is kind of ridiculous. It's a new bottle. It's not like it's a vintage bottle of booze that has a brittle cork or something. Jeez. We've got the collector's item, Street Side Corkscrew, because, you know, Street Side now has so many beers that have corks. I'm going to lose it. It's going in. That's what she said. Oh, no, no. Oh, almost. Yep, nope, it's in. All right. That's fine. Ugh. Looks like we're decanting rum tonight. 1.5 ounces of this. Dr. Bird has lost 1 point. All right. There's our rum. Zach says, I forgot to mention I'm drinking the quad IPA from Cartridge tonight. All right. All right, let's I'm just gonna muddle these sugar cubes. I think they're broken up pretty good. Yeah, I don't feel them. I think we're good. Okay. Now we need some ice. Our color-changing Bucky's cup. I'm a big Bucky's fan. I don't know how you guys feel about Bucky's. Well, I guess this is a bad time to be talking about Bucky's fandom after the latest news. I like Bucky's in the very, like, obnoxious They're like as America as you can be. It's like Walmart on steroids. Okay. Let's shake this thing up. Julia says boycott Buc-ee's. I wish I knew what the actual story is, though. I keep hearing lots of conflicting reports about what the actual truth about this story is. Specifically with them and this Beaver Mart or whatever. I recognize that there has been other companies that they've sued to in the past. But... All right, we're shaking this thing up. It's getting cold. All right, Jungle Bird. I'm also not garnishing my cocktail. Because ain't nobody got time for that right now. All right. Oh, look how pretty that is. If I were going to garnish this, I would use like a palm leaf and a big old slice of pineapple. If I were going to, but I'm not. Okay, I'm excited to try it. It smells delicious. The rum like jumps out, especially since I know kind of that smell of this rum. Like I get it just big and bold right in my face. Not as much pineapple as I was expecting, but we'll see. Cheers. Oh yeah. I should have, when I was pouring it, I should have turned the drink cam on so you could see how pretty this drink is. I guess you can still see how pretty it is, even though it's already poured. There's definitely some bitterness to it, but it's kind of, it comes off as like part of the rum. That's fantastic. It's amazing how balanced that is. And I say balanced because it's shocking that an ingredient like a big, funky, 100-proof rum and a big, giant, I mean, not that big, but a big kind of bitter ingredient like Campari, something that's super sweet, like pineapple juice. The fact that you can, like, get those to hang out together and be balanced, that's impressive. Yeah, I like that. That's, like, it's a very different flavor profile than I'm used to from a lot of tiki drinks. That's unique. And if you like grapefruit, if you like IPAs, if you like bitter flavors, this is something that I think you can definitely get behind. Yeah, now I need to go to Tiki Tiki Bang Bang and get myself another Jungle Bird and see how theirs compares to mine, because if it's like, could it be better? I don't. That would be fun. let's jump into it tonight. There are some good news stories to dive into. I'm gonna sit and drink a Jungle Bird while I talk about beer. That's gonna go down quick. Luckily, I did prepare. I have a beer sitting here for when this goes down quickly. Speaking of beer, let's talk about beer. Let's talk about Rheingeist. So the news came out, it's been a little while, came back out in like July, I think, that Rheingeist was partnering up with the Bengals. We're seeing the packaging out there a little bit, and if you watched the first preseason game this last week, there was all kinds of Rheingeist mentions. It was like every 2 minutes, this scoring play is brought to you by Cincy Light, and I freaking love it. I think it is the greatest thing in the world that we have Cincinnati brands while we're watching Cincinnati sports. And I get that there is definitely an argument to be made about some of these sponsorships Not specifically this one. I don't know the deal and the arrangement on this one, but I recognize that there have been other sponsorship deals that have pushed other breweries out of sporting events, and that's, I don't like that. But I like seeing Cincinnati beer at Cincinnati Sports. And this timed up perfectly with the release of their latest product line, a whole new segment in their portfolio, Rheingeist I'm speaking about, and that's the Cincy Splash, the newest NIL collaborative product. It's a companion to Cincy Light. Cincy Splash is a vodka seltzer, vodka soda. They have three flavors right now. I anticipate that we could see more if it's a success. I have not tried any of them, but I promise I will. And I think that, and they will be on hand at Bengals games and all over the place. Anywhere you get Cincy Light, you will now start seeing Cincy Splash. It should note, I should note with this conversation that Cincy Light is spreading a little bit further out of Cincinnati than I was expecting it to. When they first came out with it and it was started doing well, I thought that it was interesting and it was a brand that I thought would do really great here in Cincinnati and become kind of our light beer brand around town. But there was no way it could ever succeed in other markets because nobody cares about Cincinnati outside of Cincinnati. But like, we're starting to see it other places. It's not on the level of like garage beer or something that's all over the world. It's probably not all over the world. All over the United States. All over the universe. But it is starting to get legs in some other markets outside of the city. And I think that's kind of amazing. I think that like all of a sudden now we've got this brand that is good for Rheingeist. And I think Super Lager is going to be even better because it's going to be way broader for them. But the fact that you can have a beer brand that is simultaneously marketing the brewery that's putting it out and our entire city, like, I think that's the coolest thing in the world. So I'm a big Cincy Light fan. You guys know that. You see the sign in the background every week on this show because I really do love the brand. That was a gift, I should say that since I'm talking about it. Thank you, Rheingeist. But I think that the brand is one of the more exciting things that that a brewery has done here in town, and that's very strange for me as a craft beer fan to say because it's a light beer. But that's just the way it is. And I tell you what, if I'm at a football game, if I'm sitting and watching a Bengals game in the stadium, especially, I'm probably drinking light beer. I'm probably crushing a bunch of light beers or vodka sodas. So it just kind of works. Could drink some Jungle Birds too. Maybe we'll get a Cincy Splash Jungle Bird flavor. It's so, like, it does have like a grapefruity kind of personality. That's fun. It's like Campari is a strange spirit to me because if you, depending on what you mix it with, it pulls different things out of Campari. Like, there is a very distinct grapefruit thing that I taste now that I wouldn't taste otherwise. Man, that's good. I assume you guys all watched. Julia says would have to be called a jungle cat cocktail, not a jungle bird, though. That's true. Just call it a jungle. I assume you all watched the preseason game, and I assume that you saw all of the mentions of Rheingeist. I'm hoping we see more of it during games this season. I'm reading my notes. Sorry. I think one of the questions that I kind of had, though, like as I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about sports sponsorships, and I'm trying to understand how valuable they are for a brewery. Is this something that are you trying to actually sell more product by sponsoring a sports team, or is this more of a way to position yourself as the Cincinnati brand? I think it's really interesting that they are using Cincy Light as the thing in the stadiums that they're marketing. I mean, it makes sense, but you don't see a lot of mentions of Truth or things like that. I mean, obviously in stores, like you see it in the picture down there, Truth is branded with, oh no, it's not in that picture. They have a Truth variety pack that's branded too. That's Cincy Light Lime. But during games, you're hearing just a lot of Cincy Light, and it's really kind of pushing Rheingeist as the Cincinnati brewery. So it's to me, it feels more like a move to brand yourself as the spot here. Like if you're coming into town to see whatever your team is play the Bengals, what's the brewery that you go to before the game or after the game or the next day before you fly out of town or whatever? It's Rheingeist, and that's I think what they're doing. That thought then sends my mind down a whole other rabbit hole. And the question that I have for you, hopefully you can chime in on the chat and tell me, or you could also call in. The drunk line is active, 567-70-DRINK. That's 567-703-7465. Is that right? I don't even remember the number. 70-DRINK. Oh, there it is. Somebody's calling. Hey, you're on the Weekly Pint. Who is this? Hey, who is this?
Hey, Zach, what's up, buddy?
Oh, there we go. Hey, Zach.
Hey.
So my question for you, Zach, if somebody is coming into Cincinnati to watch their favorite team play the Bengals, we'll say you've got some big Packers fan, wears this big thing of cheese on his head. He loves the Packers. Packers are playing the Bengals. And he's like, hey, I'm gonna go to the game, and then I've got the next day I have 3 hours to kill before I have to get on a plane. I can go to any brewery in the city, but I can only drink one beer. So probably not 3 hours. I got a half hour. I can only drink one beer at any brewery in the city. What is that one beer that you would say represents this city the best? What?
I don't know if it's the best of the Cincinnati. It's something I would choose and recommend. I don't know if it's one beer, but a selection of beers.
No, one beer.
My answer is going to be 30.
You got to pick one beer that you think like speaks to what Cincinnati is. I don't know that it's. I don't think it's Cincy Light. I don't think that, as much as that's a great brand for the city, it doesn't say anything about Cincinnati.
Now here's my question. Well, okay, so I don't know if necessarily it says anything about Cincinnati itself, but if it is, it depends on if it's available. Because there's two answers I'm going to go with here. The first answer is going to be something that's going to be pretty much available all the time, and that's going to be Third Eye Jelly Brain.
Okay.
Just because Third Eye Brewing is my favorite, but Jelly Brain has always been that staple. Like it's like that staple IPA. Like most people go, okay, I've had Jelly Brain. Okay, that's awesome. I mean, of course, I don't know. See, you also have to be an IPA fan too. But then again, if it was like a seasonal thing, I would still say Third Eye, and I'd probably say one of the most best gems that they have is probably Kelly's Private Stash, his barley wine. And that's the one I would pick if it was. So you also have to figure out what season it is,
we'll pretend every beer is available. Ryan says, grab a Little Kings.
Kelly's Private Stash.
And
Kelly's Private Stash is it.
That's a good choice. Ryan says, Little Kings. And I think that's a good choice. I think.
Yes.
You could send somebody to Arnold's or Herb and Thelma's down in Kentucky, one of those places that like Little Kings is part of their personality, and Just sit and crush some Little Kings. I think that's a good choice. Send them up to Brink and have a Moosey.
That would be representing Cincinnati's history.
Yeah.
That would be a good choice for that. I mean, as a personal choice, that's what I was picking. I would just say Third Eye in general. Just because, and it's not just because we've done collaboration, blah, blah. Kelly does the best. And now that they got Alex, it's going to be even better. It's going to get even better, dude. You got Kelly and Alex at the helms of brewing beer now at Third Eye. I can't wait to see what Alex is going to do. I was listening to, as usual, Blake's podcast, where once again, Alex was on there with a couple other people from Dayton. And I saw.
Slow down. Sorry, they were not a couple other people from Dayton. We need to make this clear to anybody that's listening Dayton, Ohio right now.
Okay.
Middletown is part of Cincinnati. Ahead. They are ours.
I'm sorry.
You can put them into your passport and people can come down from Dayton to Middletown, which is part of Cincinnati, and hang out and have some beers.
I apologize.
But you've entered into the Cincinnati bubble when you get to Middletown. That's our bubble.
Okay, I'm
throwing it out there.
I apologize to Wes. From New Ells.
Dan from Gravel Road.
And of course, Gravel Road.
Yeah.
Yes. Dan. I said, I don't know Dan, so I can't speak. I've never been to Gravel Road, so I can't speak on that behalf. It's on my list to visit at some point. There's still a couple breweries that I'm like, oh shit, I got to check those out.
Yeah.
First of all, I called in and I did not know about the Cincinnati thing because, unfortunately, like I said, I was watching the Packers game. During the Bengals, I just saw the unfortunate, like Joe Burrow sacks a couple times, but whatever. I did see they won, but we got our asses handed to them. At least the Bengals won their preseason game. Packers did not win their preseason game, but that's, again, preseason, whatever. Yeah. One of the things I want to call about was the fact that I did not know Ryan Geis, Cincy Light, was doing a collaboration with them, pretty much sounds like. And with this Cincy Splash, is that what you called it?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And I will now have to find it, which, by the way, I hope Jason at Higher Gravity, which you guys all record Truth, Beer, and Consequences at, or whatever, Todd, whatever, are you guys recording there? Hopefully Jason gets those.
I'm sure they'll pick up a couple singles
from Higher Gravity. Okay. He's been picky choosy about stuff. So
I have not seen them in stores yet, but I assume that they will be there very soon. There's three flavors. There's black cherry, peach, and pineapple, or the cuvée, which I call Cincinnati fruit salad. That's what it's called.
Cincinnati fruit salad.
Yeah, that's Cincy fruit salad. Fruit salad splash.
Can you throw fruit? Well, you gotta throw the tiger in there somewhere. You gotta like a tiger splash.
No. Just because it can live outside of Bengals games too. Like you could drink a Cincy fruit salad splash at a Bearcats game, and that's okay because you just cuvee them all together.
That's true.
You gotta find some kind of vessel to dump them into. So I recommend always.
Well, is it kind of like
stashing,
a vodka
stashing,
seltzer type thing?
Yeah, I recommend when you go to any kind of sporting event, you always have to put a Kroger bag in your pocket. That way you can pull the Kroger bag out and turn that into a drinking vessel. Then you pour your three different Cincy splashes into the Kroger bag, and then you tie it up and you cut a corner off and you just suck out of it like a teat and drink your Cincy fruit salad splash right out of the bag. That's how you do it.
I'm waiting for you to collaborate with somebody on this.
I don't need to collaborate, I'm going to do it on this show. I'm going to do it here now. I'm going to build some kind of contraption up here that holds my Kroger bag so I can drink out of the teat while I'm talking to you guys. It'll hang right next to the microphone. You got the microphone here, teat right here, and I can drink my Cincy fruit salad splash.
Well, that sounds
science.
I would drink it.
It's all in the name of science.
All in the name of science. And here's the lead way on that. The second thing I wanted to call about, speaking of collaboration, even though I know not a lot of people take the time to go, oh, okay, that sounds good or not, but we just collaborated with my group, Facebook group I always mentioned, 513 Craft Brew. We collaborated with the big known brewery called Esoteric out in Cincinnati, in New York City. And they finally released
Equilibrium.
Unfortunately, Equilibrium. Yes. So if no one's familiar with Equilibrium, They do a lot of good IPAs and stouts. Stouts are really good too. Unfortunately, we don't get a lot of their stouts because they don't distro their stouts as often as they do their IPAs here. But that was one of the reasons I got hit up on Instagram for one of the people do marketing. We were kind of, it wasn't like we were actually part of the process like we were with the Meanwhile and Sharon Bill. Unfortunately, we obviously can't go traveling. Oh, you could travel to New York, but it would be a thing. I came up with a flavor. I kind of talked to a few people, not a lot. I should have probably talked to more people to see what they would like, but I was looking for a summer theme. So we have an IPA. It's a milkshake IPA, and the head brewer and the lady that, her name is Melissa, I believe. Yeah, Melissa. And we, were talking about what we're going to do collaboration wise. And so the beer is finally released, and what it is it's a milkshake IPA with watermelon and marshmallow.
Okay.
And it is called Between Two Cities. And thankfully, Tom from our group, designed us a 513 Craft Brew logo because I didn't want to have to keep on using something that was copyrighted off Google, which was some pirate guy, whatever. But he created something because he used to be a graphic designer. So he created something for us. So they slapped it on the side of the can, have a really cool art can. If you guys follow the group, not everybody does, I know. But if you get a chance to see it, I also posted on Instagram. They are now up for sale. $22, I believe, for a 4-pack. And you can go to their website and order it. Unfortunately, it's $25 for shipping. But if you order more than 6 things.
Get together with a bunch of friends.
And you know, now, yes. Well, that's what we're doing. Also, so if anyone's interested, I'm kind of whoring this out. Sorry right now. But if anyone's interested in the group, Tom is taking people as a group of pool of people so it doesn't cost so much for shipping.
Right.
So what I see here is if you order more things, it's only like $7. So if you order like 5 or more things, it's only like $7 for shipping. So shipping goes down the more items that you order.
Right.
So if you get a whole bunch of people within the groups and people who want to order stuff and want to try the 4-pack, I want to try to get that out there. Hopefully people might buy it. Some people might not like the idea of having marshmallow and watermelon in an IPA, which is okay. I understand. I've gotten mixed reviews about it. Some people are like, oh, tell me how that is. I've got some people say I'm in. So if you guys do want to collaborate with us, Tom is taking people's orders so you guys can get, so it can be a whole. Unfortunately, like I said, if you want to just buy the 4-pack itself, it's 22 plus 25, which is pretty expensive, but we are taking pools of people so they can order it.
Yeah.
And get it sent to your house. And they're sending me a case, obviously, because of the group and to give to the people who are part of it, like the main administrators and stuff. But I kind of wanted to whore that out. Sorry, I don't know if that's the right word to say. I kind of wanted to push that out and try to get people maybe interested in it. Hopefully maybe somebody's interested. I know the Cincy Brew Dads liked my, they reshared it on the Instagram. Equilibrium did because they were like, they tagged me and I was a collaborate tagger or whatever. It's just kind of a big deal because it's a big brewery that people know about over in New York. And it's a small little Cincinnati Facebook group that I started 6 years ago. And I've been reaching out and collaborating more with people, and I'm getting ready to collaborate again with Kelly again for another Third Eye beer that comes out. So I'm just super excited about that.
Yeah. So if people want to find somebody else that can jump on to an order with Equilibrium, get to the Facebook page, go to 513 Craft Beer and get on there and
Craft Brew.
Oh, gotcha. And they can find somebody else that's putting in an order, and you guys can get together and make it so it's not super expensive, because that's a lot of money. $50 to get a 4-pack of beer is too much, but you get enough people together.
Unfortunately, that's the thing. Unfortunately, that's the thing with getting beer that you can't get around here. It's not in distro.
Right.
Unfortunately, they were telling me that it didn't fall in the lines of when it was supposed to. It was supposed to hit distro. I talked to Jason at Higher Gravity. Everybody was talking about getting it, but then they told me our lovely distribution people, blah blah blah, Ohio didn't hit the Ohio distribution in time. There's a whole like reasoning why they couldn't do it, which kind of stinks because I was like, okay, you guys, originally they were like, we're going to make an event out of this, but now they're like, oh, you can only order on there, which is whatever. I just wish they would have been able to get it at the stores. Cause I had a couple of people who were interested in it, but now they can't get it because they have to go through the distro chains. And of course, distro is a whole nightmare in itself. So,
right. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Zach. I'm going to open up a beer.
No, you're good. Go drink a beer, because I want to see you drink more beer than these cocktails. I want to see like 5 beers.
You didn't like my Jungle Bird?
October. Okay. Jungle Bird was cool.
It was a good drink.
Now you got to go find it. Here's your mission if you choose to accept it.
Okay.
Go find an Oktoberfest. I don't care where you, whatever Oktoberfest you don't have that's not a part of your like lineup, Go find an Oktoberfest right now, drink it for us, and let's cheers it up.
I will be drinking an Oktoberfest for you tomorrow.
Okay, we'll do it. And then you make a video and say, this one's for you, Zach.
I don't know about that.
Okay, fine. You can go.
We'll see.
This one is for you, Marco, and Julia.
And I'm not going to do that either.
Oh, okay. Well, this one is just for you because you're the coolest and most popular person in Cincinnati because everyone knows your name. All right. You take it easy, brother.
Nobody knows my name. That's the whole...
Everybody knows your name. It's Andrew.
Nope, it's not. It's Frank. Thanks for calling in.
It's Frank. If everyone...
Thanks for calling in, Zach. And he's gone. He used my name. I'm going to open a beer. Esoteric Pilsner. Because, listen... I still, as much as I love Oktoberfest, both Märzens and Festbiers as a style, I still think Pilsner is the pinnacle of beer. This is what beer was evolving into, and it's perfect. Pilsner is a perfect beer, and Esoteric is kicking butt. Esoteric, not out of New York, they are out of Cincinnati, lest anybody think differently. Esoteric Pilsner. Does it have a name? I feel like it has a name. But no, this just says Pilsner. Okay. It says, this Pilsner offers a dry, hoppy character on the palate, perfectly balancing hop bitterness with light malt sweetness, leading to a clean, crisp finish. It is 5% ABV. Hops are Tettnanger and Hallertau. Malt, Pilsen. All right. See if I can do this without spilling over. That's perfect. It's like I've done this once or twice. Chris says getting distro is expensive and you lose the rights to it. Yeah, it's a lot of places are willing to give you or sell you the rights back. Yeah, lose is a very loose term there. Eric says, we'll drink a Jacko and tip it to you. I'm not drinking a pumpkin beer tomorrow, I can tell you that. Switch. There we go. Next story. Let's change things. I'm going to go over here first. Last weekend, I went to Beer and Sweat. It's been a very, very long time, like way longer than I care to admit that I've been to Beer and Sweat. And I fell back in love with, not that I ever fell out of love with the homebrewing community, but it reminded me how much I love the homebrewing community. And this is kind of on the heels of the news that how to brew your own beer homebrew store from Dayton was going to be moving down to open a little store inside of Gravel Road. Homebrewing, and I think that it all kind of falls in line with a bigger story here that, like, I've probably been putting out the word, the vibes, the message that homebrewing is kind of a I don't want to say a dying hobby, but like a hobby that is on the decline, and probably is, like, on paper, but when I went to the event, and granted, most of the people that were there, there were a lot of people that they've been in the hobby for a while. They're older folks that, like, have been around making beer and are always going to be around making beer. They're not there's not like a lot of like young kids getting into homebrewing, but the hobby is very much alive. And the culture of it and the personality of it and the soul to homebrewing is exactly like one of the things that like made us all fall in love with craft beer. Like this idea of just trying new things and playing around with stuff and having fun with beer again, like to not take yourself so seriously, just to relax and have a homebrew. Like it's a thing of beauty. And, I encourage anybody that has never been to a homebrew meeting or a homebrew club or a homebrew festival. This is Beer and Sweat is a great opportunity to go kind of rub your elbows with some homebrewers and drink a bunch of great homebrew. To do it, connect with a homebrew club, find a time when they're all getting together and hanging out and making some beer, and just go hang out and see what it's all about, because it's very different than hanging out in a tap room. And I say that in a very good way. It's different in a very wonderful way. I think that I still worry about the hobby a little bit, because and I'm guilty of it. I don't homebrew anymore because it's easier to just go grab better beer somewhere else. I was never a great homebrewer. So it's easier for me to go and get beers like this from Esoteric, which I haven't even drank yet, because it tastes better than anything that I can make. And I think that that's true for a lot of people, that it's just not worth the hassle that they go through. But then there's this whole other segment of people that even if at the beginning it's not as good as they could get somewhere else, there's something that just clicks with them, and I love that. Let me drink this real quick. Ooh. Super floral. Oh, so good. Such a good beer. Nice little, like, a crackery malt to it. Yeah. That's a good beer. But it really did kind of make me fall back in love with, not that I fell out of love with it, just this idea of homebrewing. I like being around it. The beers were incredible. Hats off to everybody that was a beer and sweat. Every single beer that I had was delicious. I didn't have anything in there that I'm like, yeah, that tastes like a homebrew. That's that's not very good. Everything was great. Beers were awesome. Had some stuff that like I would love to keep drinking and have more of. So hats off to everybody that had stuff on tap that I drank, because it was good. If you've never been to Beer and Sweat, make note, next year you need to go. you really, really, really need to go. I need to make it so that I can spend more time there next year. It was kind of falling in the middle of some other stuff that I had going on, so I didn't get to spend as much time as I wanted to. But it was great. Such a great festival. But I wanted to mention that because I think I've been a little harsh, and I probably still will be a little harsh on kind of the status of the home brewing hobby, but it's still alive and well. I wonder if like the underground nature of home brewing is part of what makes it so great. Chris is camping, for anybody that has not figured it out, and he says the loon calls are creepy. There are no loons calling here at my house. I think that like the scrappiness, the extra scrappiness, I mean, craft beer is already scrappy enough, but the extra scrappiness of homebrew on top of kind of the craft beer culture, if that's what makes it so great. So I don't, maybe like it not being super popular helps it be amazing. I think there might be something to that. Anyways, moving on. That's just a quick little hit there with that. I wanted to mention how great of a time that I had at Beer and Sweat. There's a new bar opening in Cincinnati. This was the former Five Kitchen and Bar. They closed and are opening a new concept, Bar Rosso. They just announced the other day kind of what the concept is. The idea is one food item. So you get there and there's a flat fee. I think it's like $50 for your food. And you get a salad and bread and then all of the fries that you can eat and steak. Steak and frites. And that's it. That's their whole menu. Salad, bread, steak, fries. On top of that, they are building out a cocktail menu that is heavily influenced by vermouth, by what do they say? Vermouth, gin maybe? No, vermouth, martinis, Negronis is kind of the three buzzwords that they put in there. I love this. I love this on so many levels. Now, $50 is a little expensive. I'm not going to go there and I can't have a snack because there is no snack option. It's just $50. That's it. Now, with that being said, it's all you can eat. Fries. I can sit there and eat fries. I can eat $50 worth of fries. I can make that work. But the cocktail side is what I'm really interested in. I'm thinking back to like pre-COVID, the last, and that's how long it's been since I've been down to Asheville. And one of the things, well, there's a couple things that I really love about Asheville. I love the beer in Asheville, but what I think is exciting about a city like that is that because the beer scene is so amazing, you've got these other things that are opening up. You have multiple places making cider, which is cool, but a gimme. When you have a very big beer scene, you're going to get cider. Then they have a sake brewery, which is not normal for the United States. You have a bar that is the one that the reason I'm going down this rabbit hole. There's a bar that's attached to an Italian restaurant that is all focused on like vermouth and amari and things like that. Drinks that like Americans, we don't really like drink that much of. And you've built out a bar program that's dedicated to them in Asheville, North Carolina. And I remember like the first time I went in there that I was amazed that this could exist in a city. And I'm hoping that this is our answer to something like that. A bar that has a personality that is unmatched by anything else in the city or the region. It's a place that people go for something that speaks a different language than anything else is speaking. And I think it's got potential for that if people can get on board. Now, I don't know why people wouldn't be able to get on board with martinis and Negronis and some fun little vermouth cocktails. If you don't like, if you're not into vermouth, just try, like, go to a bar, like a good cocktail bar, and get yourself vermouth and soda water and just start getting into it because it is so good. I think it's exciting. Let's see. Kenny Brew Beer says that the Michigan Homebrew Festival is sold out for this year. It's this weekend. 18 clubs serving beer and food. It's an amazing event. Beer and Sweat has been around a long time. Homebrewing needs some younger people to get involved. A great hobby. I agree. I don't know how you get people involved, though. Like I don't know how you convince young people to make your own beer when we have so many great breweries. I think going back to this Barroso thing, everybody's talking about how, you know, you need to find your niche and your piece of this whole thing, and then stick with it. And I keep seeing people that will just try to do everything and try to create menus that have something for everybody and this and that, and we've got wings and we've got pizza and we've got burgers and we've got tacos and it's all on the same menu. And you've got these cocktail menus that have these different sections for different personalities and all this stuff, and it's like it just becomes confusing and it becomes like it doesn't say anything about the place at all. It then like you start to fade off in some kind of noise because everything turns into the same. And like when you have a place, and I don't know that Barroso is going to be great. I hope so. But like when you have a place that has some kind of personality, it becomes when you're sitting with your friends, you're like, where are we going to go tonight? This place has this. This is really good. And we want to go enjoy this thing. It's like if I'm trying to think of another good example that kind of touches on that. And I can't really think of a good one off the top of my head. But like, you know, there are far too many places right now that try to be something for everybody instead of figuring out who they are and then just doing that better than anybody else does that thing. And I think that this is a recipe for a very, very exciting bar. As long as people get it, as long as people understand. I really hope they do, because I want this. I really want this to work. This sounds like the kind of place that that I can have a good time sitting and having a couple cocktails and a dinner. Steak and frites, come on. I was very vocal, and this goes back a little bit, and this is not to the same level, but when Just Frites opened up in Listerman, I was so excited about a restaurant, a food concept, that their menu is centered around French fries. It's something so simple that everybody loves. I think it's brilliant. And maybe like you'll be able to go to Bar Rosso and just get fries. You don't have to go with the steak too, and get a cheaper option that way. That's possible. Or just get a. I'm not going to just get a salad. That's dumb. I don't want just a salad while I'm drinking. But fries, I could eat some fries. Fries are good drinking food. Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News says, "Hi, Gnome." Hi. So the next time any of you are in Cincinnati, if you're tuning in from the Northeast, steak and fries. I have a couple other like quick hits if we want to talk about those. Let's see. There is another new bar that just opened up, and I have not been there, so I can't comment on the quality. Okay, Ryan says, sounds like $150 plus date for two. Happy for those that can roll like that. Yeah, I mean, like, that's one of those nights that you don't do it all the time. But, yeah, I mean, like, if you want to go out and have, like a nice date, like, where are we going that you're not spending $150? I cannot go out for dinner with my wife. Both of us drink. Both of us have dinner and get out for cheap anymore. It doesn't exist. So I want something that makes me feel good. That's all I want. This is, I think, going to be one of those places too that you're going to see a lot of cocktail crowd, people that go there for cocktails while they're eating somewhere else. I think you're going to see events. Like they have an event space there, and I think you'll see people like rent out the space because the food is so. I imagine that they'll have some kind of catering menus, just a whole bunch of fries and a whole bunch of steak, and you just build your own little steak and fry bowl. Oh, yeah. Chris says Taco Bell can get there quick. Yeah, if I take my entire family, we can approach that at Taco Bell. The other bar that I want to talk about is called a Gwyn. It just opened up downtown in the hotel. What is that hotel called? I want to say Foundry. Is that right? Right by the Contemporary Arts Center there. If somebody can Google it faster than me, please shout out. Although with the time shift, there's a delay. Fidelity Hotel. This is what I am hoping is the start of a resurgence in hotel bars. I love hotel bars, and in the last, like, I mean, again, probably since COVID, hotel bars aren't the same as they used to be. It used to be this really, really unique space that you could go and be around people that most of them weren't from here. And it became this like place that like different types of people gathered. And a lot of bars for me, and in my experience, a lot of bars end up that you get crowds that go there. You get regulars that are like, this is our spot, and places start to develop a personality. And not that you can't go to different places that have different personalities, but the place still has that personality. Hotel bars have no personality. They change, they morph, they become different every night that you go there, depending on who is there. And that's one of the things that I love the most about them. And I'm hoping that this gives us some kind of start to a resurgence to that personality of bars. This place looks swanky though too. If like a $150 for dinner and drinks is bad, this is probably worse. Let me look at the menu real quick, because this is pretty nuts. I mean it's gorgeous. I don't know if you can see the picture on there. It's a gorgeous bar. All right, the menu. Okay, dine. Okay, we have breakfast, brunch, dinner, dessert, lounge, cocktails, bourbon list, and a wine list. Let's go dinner. Okay, I can get rolls for $8. That's a good deal. Let's see. Ooh, we've got starters. We have fried green tomatoes, $14. Pork belly. Oh, I love me some pork belly. For $18. I can get mussels for $18. I can get a $12 salad. That's not bad. It's got shallots and radishes and pine nuts. Mmm. All right, our main courses. We have duck for $48. Redfish for $42. You can get a filet, the filet Gwyn, for $87. You can get the this is lame. Ricotta stuffed squash blossom, $34. That's the cheapest thing on there, because there's no meat. I like meat. Pork chop. Now we're talking, $57 for that. The herb crusted rack of lamb. Oh yeah, $68. Or there's a box feature. I don't know what that means, but it's prime rib for $70. Let's look at the lounge menu. I'm guessing this is drinking food. Oh yeah, I can get some roasted nuts for $9. Warm olives. Do I want my olives warm? I feel like they get cold in my martini. I don't want them warm. $10. They got oysters by the half dozen for $30. Jumbo shrimp cocktail for $32. I can get a charcuterie board with artisan cheese for $54. I can get Kentucky spoonfish for $130. That's caviar. That's a rabbit hole we could go down. Evidently, like, some of the best caviar comes from Kentucky. I heard that the other day, and like, I have not actually done any digging into that, but this backs that up a little bit. This is some evidence of that. Paddlefish. This is paddlefish caviar, egg mimosa, creme fraiche, a pickled shallot, chive, cornmeal, bellinis. Okay, I'll try it. I've never had caviar. Maybe I need to go eat some caviar. Not for $130, I don't. There's sandwiches, some salads, you know. It's expensive. You know, got to get that caviar, Kentucky caviar. I could be wrong on that. Somebody needs to fact check me, but I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere or heard it on a podcast or something that, yeah, they're like some of the best caviar comes from Kentucky. Whatever, but it's fine. Look, I don't judge. But they're opening up, or are open now. It's on my list to check out. I cannot promise you that I'll be eating, but I'm going to have a cocktail or two, and I'm going to see what it's all about. I'm afraid there's you think there's like a dress code? Do you think I can get in wearing a baseball hat and a t-shirt? I don't know. Let's see. Oh, okay. Woodburn. There's some activity happening at Woodburn. Rumor on Reddit seems to be that somebody has purchased the space. It seems like somebody's purchased the space. There's a sign up that says something is coming to stay tuned. Rumor is there's some kind of cafe kind of thing going on. No brewery. But that's probably for the best. Depot's got its food partner up and running. Garage beer. We got to talk about garage beer real quick. Garage beer apple. Gapple. Gapple is out there. I was really hoping I could grab some for this week's show, and I couldn't get down there to get any. It's interesting to me that not only was Gapple introduced, it was first released, there was a party at Braxton. I think Braxton broke the news, and I think it's a ton of fun. I know that there's still a lot of people that don't understand the Braxton Garage Beer relationship. Braxton invented Garage Beer. They made it. They turned it into another company. They sold a portion of the company. Then they sold more of the company. Then they sold all of the company. That's the news. And they still make it in their tap rooms because they love the brand so much. They are allowed to make it. That's it. That's the whole news. Julie says, I tried some Gapple this weekend. How was it? I would love to try them all like next to each other. Try some Bapple, some Fapple, and some Gapple all next to each other and see what's the best. I imagine they're all kind of the same. Ryan says, I believe Gapple is at Jungle Gyms. Probably. I imagine it's going to be everywhere. I did see there's new buckets too. New garage beer buckets with tiger stripes. I want one of the buckets so bad. I don't know that I need that much garage beer. I don't need a couple cases of garage beer. And Keystone, Capel. Okay. Julia says it was okay. Apple Jolly Rancher-esque, not my thing, but it has its place. They're all kind of that way. Like I think they're all just kind of candy-like. If I don't know that like apple beer is my thing. It's a very interesting flavor profile for me. And I don't like if you throw like maybe some cinnamon or something in there, maybe I can start to get behind it as a fall seasonal, which is nice that Gapple is falling into the fall instead of summer. But like when you're releasing Bapple at the beginning of summer, like that's not apple season. None of it makes any sense to me. Like I don't. It's not like refreshing. It's not. If it was like, I don't know, lime, you know. I could understand that. Bime, that's not as catchy. Yeah, maybe that's the only thing that does make sense. Let's see. Oh, Julia with the stats here. Kentucky produces highly praised wild-caught caviar, primarily from paddlefish, locally called spoonfish, and hackleback sturgeon. Ooh, hackleback sturgeon harvested from regional rivers like the Ohio, Tennessee, and Cumberland. While traditional connoisseurs often reserve the best title for imported Caspian sea sturgeon species like Ostra, or Beluga, Kentucky caviar is globally unique as one of the few entirely wild-caught caviars available. Boom. Look at that. Kentucky doesn't just make bourbon. They harvest fish eggs. Chris says that apple is usually an off-note flavor in beer. Yeah. It is, but not in this case. It is as sought out as paddlefish eggs. That's how crazy people go for all of the apple beers. That's all I got for you guys today, this week. That's it. I think we covered everything that we need to know. What did we learn this week? We learned that paddlefish are highly prized, and you can get some for $130 at a hotel bar. That's cool. But you could also, for the same price, go to Taco Bell and get a family special. We also learned that Esoteric is not from New York. They are from Walnut Hills. and they make a great Pilsner. And I don't think that they've ever put marshmallow in their beers, but I can't say that they wouldn't. We learned that Oktoberfest Quest is well underway, and it's amazing, and I'm already knee-deep in Oktoberfest beers. The spreadsheet is being compiled. We learned that Julia noodles for paddlefish, and that's fine. And that's everybody needs a hobby. And we learned that I would recommend she choose homebrewing instead of noodling, because that benefits more people. I don't know how much caviar you get from one harvest from a fish, but I bet you get more beer than you do caviar. We learned that bars can find a way to find their place in this world and do something unique that gets people excited. And there still are things that get us excited about drinking. Chris says video or didn't happen. We learned that football is better with beer. I think that's what we learned. Ryan says we learned that shipping beer from New York is not cheap unless you get a gang together. If you've got a gang, you can make it cheap. You gotta throw your weight around a little bit, then they'll make it cheap for you. I appreciate you guys. We learned that. Thanks for hanging out with me. We learned that the Jungle Bird is a great cocktail, and that Dr. Bird's corks suck. we'll probably do this thing next week. I think we got a little while before I need to start warning you. There's going to be a week where I might not have a show. Yeah, we got a little while. Few weeks still. There's gonna be a week where we might not have a show on a Monday. We'll see. Start making your plans. Oktoberfest is quickly approaching. We're in the middle of lots of different Oktoberfest festivals. If you need to know about all of the best Oktoberfest festivals, I think you can go to thegnarlygnome.com/Oktoberfest. Let me check that before I say that to you. Thegnarlygnome.com/Oktoberfest. Let's see where that takes you. I do have a list on the website that has all of this year's festivals that you should not miss. If this is going to load for me. We'll make it work. Julia says, already said it's canon now. Yeah, we'll make it work. So go there and find all of the festivals that that you need to go to. That'll get you there. It pulls up like a generic page, but right now it's got a festival page from 2023, so I'll have to fix that. Or maybe that's just because my cache isn't cleared out. That's fine. We'll fix everything. Everything will be fixed. But yeah, there's some great festivals. There's lots of great ones. You've got Germania coming up in like 2 weekends. And then the big one, Oktoberfest Cincinnati, 50th anniversary. They just put up tickets for their VIP experience, which is like $100 depending on what night you go. And you get food and a bunch of beer. And it's a good deal. Shot of Jaeger. It comes with a shot of Jaeger. That's the VIP experience that we all need. Thanks for hanging out, guys. We'll do it again next week. Same time, same place, 9:30-ish on Mondays. If you like this, if you like any of the stuff that I do, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support to become a gnomey. It helps all of this stuff work. It helps all of this happen. And every subscription now comes with a subscription to Cincy Drinks Magazine, which is coming out. First issue comes out in the fall. I'm making it official. We'll bump to the fall. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's a lot. Trying to keep podcasts happening, which I recognize. I think like a week and a half ago, I told you there was a new episode of Drinking with a Gnome. It's still not done. It's close, but it's not done. it's just too many things. taking on a new full-time job is great because it means that all of the energy and money from the business can now just support the business. But time is still, there's only so many hours in the week, and my kids are back to school now, and that creates a whole, we've got to refigure out the schedule again, and it's been crazy. It's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah, fall. Stay tuned. It's good. It's coming together. It's good. We're editing. I scrapped one article and I'm going to rewrite something for that. And, it's going to be good. There is not an Oktoberfest article though. I guess if I'm releasing in the fall, I should probably write something about Oktoberfest. See, now I'm rethinking everything. I think too much and then, then it'll take longer. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Ryan says, tomorrow night, everybody go to Kolsch Night or come to Mattry Parks and Rec if you aren't camping. Even if you are camping, just drive back and then go back. It works. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you very much. Yeah, Kolsch Night, Mattry Parks and Rec. The Cincy Brew Dads are recording at Parks and Rec if you didn't catch on to that. We'll see you guys then. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate you. You're awesome. You're the best podcast listeners that I've ever known. Thank you. See you next week. Remembered, I've got more lime juice. It's daiquiri time. Gotta drink a whole bottle of Dr. Bird too. Gonna need more lime juice. Decanting is for losers. We drink the bottle.